Hello and welcome. This is Passionate Nutrition Radio, and I'm your host, Jennifer Adler. I've been a nutritionist for more than a decade and am the founder of Passionate Nutrition, a nutrition practice with 8 locations throughout the greater Puget Sound area. Since beginning my practice, I've helped clients lower their cholesterol, combat depression, treat cancer, reverse diabetes, lose weight, and completely transform their lives with nutrition. Food is medicine, and on Passionate Nutrition, I'll answer your nutritional questions and talk about what foods promote wellness and vitality. This is a call-in show, so please feel free to reach out to us at any time throughout the show. We welcome any and all questions and stories you'd like to share, and we'd really love to hear from you. Our call-in number is 425-373-5527, or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-KKNW, that's 5569. Thank you so much for joining me today. So today's show is all about edible antidepressants. And whether you're anxious, moody, stressed, or you just suffer from some serious blahs, on this week's show, we'll introduce you to some power foods that can transform your emotional state from the inside out. And it's true, there really are foods that we can incorporate into our diets that make us feel happier. And the food decisions that we make every day influence how we look and we move through the world. Food is what provides the building blocks for who we are, who we become, and even how we feel. So what we eat can really affect our brain chemistry, which plays a big part in our moods. So in this week's show, we celebrate serotonin, which is a really feel-good neurochemical that's known to calm the brain. And we're going to share some of our favorite serotonin-boosting snacks. You'll also learn about one power food that's known as nature's Prozac. And incorporating this food into your diet on a regular basis, you could really notice a change in your happiness level. Now, before we get started, I just want to point out up front, it's not a good idea to tune into the show, get inspired, and decide to stop taking your medication. That's not our goal or our point. As nutritionists, we know that each of us have the power to transform how we feel with food, but it can take time, patience, and proper guidance. And also there's situations where food may not be strong enough to work for everyone. So welcome to the show, listen, and if you're intrigued, give us a call and we can set up an appointment to develop an individualized plan that can help support your goals, but we can never recommend that somebody not take their medication. We're the food and nutrition people, and we leave medication to doctors and psychiatrists. This show is about bringing awareness to the power of food and self-care and optimal health that complements any plan you're currently on. So with that said, I want to introduce Mackenzie Zajon. Hi, Mackenzie.
Hi.
So Mackenzie is one of our amazing nutritionists at Passionate Nutrition, and she's the recipient of Top Health Coach at Microsoft. And so I'm really happy that she's joining us today. And you can learn more about Mackenzie and her unique approach to nutrition on our site, passionatenutrition.com. So Mackenzie, I invited you on the show today because I know that you've had incredible success with the clients that you work with. You're really gifted and you help clients reach their individual goals and their health goals. And you have a lot of expertise in recommending mood-boosting foods that really work for people. So can you tell our listeners a bit about your background?
Sure. Well, thank you, Jennifer, for those compliments. That's very nice of you. My background, well, some of my earliest memories were of digging in the dirt. I've always had this very strong connection to soil and the earth and this question of where does our food come from and how do we really ultimately nourish ourselves? And it took me to some of my undergrad studies at the University of Montana, where I studied environmental studies with an emphasis in agriculture. I also grew up in a very strong athletic family, and I have a strong athletic build and played Division I soccer at the University of Montana as well. And a lot of my experience there was a lot of questions of how do I build strength and how do I use this body to perform to optimal levels on the soccer field. And so all of these questions of strength and how to nourish and, a lot of it became even obsessive and there was a lot of preoccupation around that, which I really wanted to simplify. And it took me to my studies at Bastyr University, where I studied at a program there that is one of a kind. There's no program like it in the world, which is a master's level nutrition as well as master's level in health psychology. So I bring a psychology approach to the food and nutrition world.
Great. And what would you say is the most rewarding part about being a nutritionist for you?
Wow, I just love this question. You know, working with people is absolutely my favorite thing. I'm very extroverted. I could talk all day long. So working with people is absolutely one of the most rewarding processes. And this process of helping people improve their relationship to food, improve their relationship to body, and then this topic today of what I like to call food and mood, this is absolutely one of my favorite topics. So it's very rewarding.
And how would you describe your approach to nutrition?
I feel comfortable saying that a passionate nutrition, our approach is really a whole foods approach. We use food as medicine. It's our first go-to when we're looking at the individual. You know, we take many things into account when looking at an individual, and just using food, an individualized plan for each person, it's going to be so unique for everyone. And that's another part of the job that's very rewarding, is how different it is for every person. And so really using this food first and using it as medicine, which can be complex. There's a lot of messages out there. So simplifying things for people, I would say, is a huge approach that I take.
And what kinds of clients do you find yourself working with most?
You know, there's a variety of clients that I work with. The ones that are most common, I'd say, eating disorder clients, and then as well as disordered eating, folks who are having body image distress. I bring a psychology, just emphasis, motivational interviewing around health behavior change for folks who, it's an important part of their life, but they just don't quite know how to get there. Maybe their confidence is low. You know, I really like supporting folks and improving their confidence around nutrition and health and body. I also work a lot with people with intuitive eating and mindful eating, athletes. Lots of family nutrition, as well as other medical conditions like diabetes, hypothyroidism, autoimmune disorders, and much more.
And when you say for clients to improve their confidence with nutrition, I mean, for our listeners out there, can you explain what you mean?
Sure. Well, it's so crazy making out there. You know, I mean, you read one study and then the next study, it says the exact opposite. You know, it's just so confusing. And so again, simplifying nutrition for folks, and then whatever people are feeling like there's low confidence around, like they're just having a hard time making that next step. Making a plan, helping people feel like they're, we can take just one more step closer to their goals.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Well, it's time for us to take a quick break, but stay with us. And when we return, we're going to dive into edible antidepressants. What are they and how do they work? And thank you again for listening to Passionate Nutrition Radio.
With the busyness of life, it can be difficult to make sure we're getting the proper nutrition we need every day to be healthy. That can be true for your kids, too. With mealtime tantrums, conflicting schedules, force feedings, and short-order cooking, eating right can seem daunting. Passionate Nutrition offers private consulting and individually tailored nutrition coaching to help you teach your children how to cultivate a healthy relationship with food that will set them up for lifelong healthy eating. Learn simple tips to nourish your child with balanced, creative, and sustainable meal ideas. Their nutritionists clarify misinformation about food to reduce the anxiety surrounding meals so families can connect at mealtimes. We all want the best nutrition possible, and Passionate Nutrition can help you achieve it in a customized way that fits your busy life. I'm Martha Hadley. Passionate Nutrition is helping me, and they can help you too. Learn more at PassionateNutrition.com. With 6 locations and coverage by most insurance plans, that's PassionateNutrition.com.
There's an exciting new Astrology Hour, Tuesdays at 5 p.m. with Deborah Silverman. Deborah's unique blend of psychology and astrology turns planetary language into plain English. Join us for an interactive hour that's guaranteed to give you personal insights in a fun and entertaining way. Tune in to Deborah Silverman Live. Whatever your life question, marriage, job, family, relocation, or just curiosity, call for a live reading Tuesdays at 5 p.m. and visit Deborah's website at DeborahSilvermanAstrology.com.
Every generation needs a voice, and on Mondays at 2 p.m. here on Alternative Talk 1150, Lewis Howard's show, Head of the House, is the voice for the 20s, 30s, and 40s. Head of the House brings education, insight, and information that brings health and healing to the challenges of managing your home, relationships, and your career. Tune in once, and you will be hooked. That's Head of the House every Monday at 2 p.m. here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Notice anything different? You should. There's no other station like Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Passionate Nutrition Radio. I'm Jennifer Adler, your host and a nutritionist for more than a decade. I'm here with Mackenzie Zajon, an extraordinary nutritionist at Passionate Nutrition. So, Mackenzie, how would you define an edible antidepressant?
Oh, that's a really good question, Jennifer. An edible antidepressant would be, you know, foods that boost a natural physiological process that's already occurring in our body. So, like you mentioned in the very beginning, there's a neurotransmitter called serotonin, and there's also dopamine and norepinephrine. These already naturally occurring neurotransmitters in our body can have a boosting effect that foods can really play a role in. So it would be foods that boost these naturally occurring chemicals already in our body.
And how do they work?
You know, it's really amazing. There's there's these neurotransmitters move in our brain, and they move along the myelin sheath of our nerves, and they're interacting with one another constantly along the synapse of the neurons, and they all play a really unique role. Serotonin is proven to have a real calming effect on the brain, dopamine has a real feeling of like euphoria, and so they all have these really unique effects as they're moving along the synapse of the brain.
And it's interesting that this is something that we often don't hear about or talk about in the public, and at the same time, there's so much information about this, and places like juvenile halls use this, prisons use this, in terms of really being thoughtful about the types of food that they serve in terms of what type of an emotional response they're going to have on, for example, in a prison, the inmates. You know, they know serving something like turkey, for example, there's going to be more of a calming effect, whereas if they serve other types of foods, they notice that aggravation, assault, things like that, there's actually statistics that those things go up. So what you're bringing up, Mackenzie, it might sound strange, but it's actually something that's been used a lot.
Yeah, you know, I think that's such a good point. It's really amazing when we look at the science, we see that there are certain foods that contain certain parts of the food that literally can boost certain part of these neurotransmitters. And today it's really fun that we're talking about the foods that can really boost more of an energy, more feeling, the happiness. There's literally these parts of the food that are precursors to these neurotransmitters that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this serotonin that you're bringing up, I mean, that has such a calming effect on the brain. And foods that have a lot of serotonin, that can be kind of where we have that calmness. Or I know sometimes we'll talk about clients, you know, having a certain food before bed, that it just can have that calming effect. And people have used this, you know, for all throughout history. You know, ancient times, food has been used as a natural antidepressant that's helped people with depression.
Yeah, it goes way back. You know, there's a lot of ancient wisdom here that has shown that, you know, some of the things that we've been, that have been passed down through myth or story, we're seeing now that there's a real science to it that, mm-hmm. that can explain why we can feel a totally different way depending on our food and our diet.
Right. So, Mackenzie, what are the top 5 foods that you would recommend to clients for boosting their mood?
And I guess you can have to pick 5.
Well, you can start off with one. I'm sure over the course of the show, we'll go through them, but let's start with one.
Okay. Well, the first one, hands down, without a doubt, this one gets the best results, is kefir. You know, kefir is a food that, you know, sometimes I say kefir and people say, what? You know, what is kefir? You know, and it's a really and actually very user-friendly food. I like to describe it as a drinkable yogurt. It's a little bit like a smoothie. It comes in, you know, those containers that like the milkman used to bring to the front doorstep. It has a little bit of a shape like that container. We find it in the refrigerator section next to the yogurt. And it's really neat. What's unique about kefir is it's a fermented product, and the kefir grains actually are what are fermenting in the kefir, which creates an enormous amount of probiotics. And you know, we're hearing a lot about probiotics, lots of science coming around probiotics and the benefits of probiotics. And this is absolutely the first and foremost food that I would recommend to people, because these probiotics really help support the health of the gut and our stomach. And you know, research shows anywhere from 80 to 90% of the serotonin that we make in our body is made in the gut. So if our gut is happy, our serotonin levels will be high.
Yes, and I would say, I would agree with you, Mackenzie. Kefir is probably my top choice as well. And that's the one that we're referring to as Nature's Prozac, right?
Definitely, hands down.
Yeah, and it's been used throughout history, like you were saying. And I love this connection, too, with the probiotics, because it's one of those things. You know, whenever we think of anxiety or depression or insomnia, you know, we often don't think of our digestive system or our gut. And what Mackenzie's bringing up is a very strong connection. So we have about 3.5 to 5 pounds of bacteria in our body, which is kind of crazy to think about because we live in the land of antibacterial soap. You know, so we think of bacteria as being this horrible thing. Well, our bacteria outnumber our cells by about 9 to 10 times. So as Mackenzie's bringing up, this is what produces the majority of our serotonin, you know, for our brain. And it's really interesting because there are a lot of practitioners that do get this connection. Like we have a number of psychiatrists that refer to us quite frequently because they find that their clients, they're able to reduce the medication that they're taking, you know, as they make nutrition changes. And one of the things that we do really work on is gut health that Mackenzie is referring to. And Mackenzie, is there anything else you would add about kefir, or do you want to go on to another food?
Other than it's just Nature's Prozac, it's really, it had a very calming effect. It's just, I really can't reiterate enough how user-friendly it is. You know, sometimes new foods can be intimidating. And just how really easy this one is to drink. The other one I like to recommend with this for maybe people who are lactose intolerant, that kefir is mostly lactose-free because those probiotics eat a lot of the lactose. And it's mostly lactose-free. So even a lactose intolerant person can usually enjoy kefir just fine and still get all these calming benefits from this ancient food.
Yeah, I think it's 99% lactose-free, which is pretty great.
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that we should probably also say about kefir, and we're spending a lot of time on it, but it's also the number one food we would probably recommend, is that kefir, when it's plain, people often don't like the flavor. You know, it's much mm-hmm. more tart than yogurt. You know, it is, you know, McKinsey referred to it like a drinkable yogurt, and that's a really accurate picture. And at the same time, it's very different bacteria that create kefir, and it makes a much more tart product. So getting the plain kefir usually doesn't go over well. So we typically recommend where people will get a sweetened variety, whether it's strawberry or blueberry or peach or whatever works for them. And even if that's too sweet, you can do a combination, you know, where you mix the plain and one of the flavored kinds. And it's a little bit thick, so you can always add a little bit of milk or water or something to it if you want to thin it out as well.
Yeah, those are all great recommendations, Jennifer. I have a lot of clients that do half and half because mm-hmm. it is very sour. Even somebody who does plain yogurt just fine still finds the plain kefir to be quite tart. So half and half sometimes is a really nice suggestion. I think that's a really important thing to bring up.
And as far as quantity, what we often recommend is going to be about a cup a day. You know, and if there was a time of day to have this, like if somebody struggles with calming down and relaxing when they get home from work or before going to bed at night, it can often be a great thing just to have a glass of kefir. You know, but about a cup is probably a good recommendation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe so too, about a cup. And people come back feeling so soothed with enjoying it at night. And a lot of people like to enjoy it in the beginning of the day as well. Mm-hmm. So again, just coming back to that very user-friendly food.
It is. So McKinsey, what's another food that you typically recommend to clients to boost their mood?
Well, you know, I can't emphasize, I know we talk a lot about protein. You know, protein
yes.
is absolutely the most important thing for so many topics that we talk about in nutrition. I mean, I can't help but bring up protein here. You know, protein shows up almost on seems like all of our radio shows.
It does, but I think that's just magical. So telling of how important it is. You're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. You know, protein is, it's so important. You know, these neurotransmitters that we're talking about, serotonin, dopamine, norepinephrine, all of which impact our mood and our feelings of happiness. The precursors to them, and what I mean by precursor is, you know, our body's constantly making one thing and then changing it into another. Protein is the precursor to these neurotransmitters. So when we eat something like, you know, tryptophan, which you mentioned, Jennifer, turkey, which traditionally is known to make us sleepy on Thanksgiving, has a higher level of this tryptophan. And tryptophan is the precursor to serotonin. So if we're eating foods high in tryptophan, we're setting ourselves up for success to increasing our levels of serotonin. The same with dopamine. The precursor to dopamine is tyrosine. Eating a lot of foods that is a precursor of this are, you know, proteins, things with meat, fish, and poultry all contain a lot of this tryptophan and tyrosine, which are these precursors to serotonin and dopamine. So my second food would just generally be these protein-rich foods that are these precursors.
I would agree, hands down. I think that's, you know, one of the biggest things that we look at when a client comes in, especially if they're struggling with anxiety or depression or they just have low energy, you know, oftentimes we'll find that they're just not getting enough protein, especially biologically available protein, meaning protein that the body can really utilize. And oftentimes that'll come in animal forms.
Yes, exactly. And we know so much how much protein helps just keep our blood sugar levels under control. And, mm-hmm. you know, when our blood sugar levels are out of whack, so is our mood. And, you know, protein really plays a huge, huge part in impacting our mood.
It does. And so a lot of times when we're thinking about how much to focus on, what we would typically recommend, and of course it's individualized, but each and every time we're eating, including some strong protein source. So it isn't about having protein at dinner, you know, a large amount. It's about breakfast, our snacks, our lunch. You know, are we getting protein in there? That's where we're going to see a really big difference. It's not about saving it up until the end of the day and then eating a bunch of protein.
Mm-hmm.
And it requires a lot of planning ahead, it seems like. Don't we find that a lot with clients, don't we, Mackenzie?
Yes, definitely. You know, we do have to be realistic with, you know, just keeping an eye on how to set ourselves up for success, you know, because oftentimes we forget that we're animals. And if our tank is on empty, we're going to want to eat. You know, that's our innate drive. And so if we aren't, you know, maybe considering and planning ahead, a lot of times food choices go out the door because our body just is ravenous. So having a little bit of a plan can definitely go a long way.
Yeah, it seems like having a plan, being set up for success, like you brought up earlier, that's one of the biggest indicators of if someone is going to be successful or not with their nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's time for us to take a quick break, and stay tuned. And when we return, Mackenzie will share some interesting client stories as well as more foods that can be natural antidepressants that can make a big difference. And as always, please feel free to call in with any questions at any time throughout the show. We'd love to hear from you. Our call-in number is 425-373-5527 or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-KKNW. That's 5569. We'll be right back.
Does losing weight feel like a never-ending battle that you just can't win? Or maybe you really just want to eat better, have more energy, and improve your health? Well, now you can do it all, and your office visits may likely be covered by your health insurance. Passionate Nutrition will help you lose weight and look and feel fantastic. It's time for a new dieting approach, not a battle. One that's sustainable, realistic, and good for you. Passionate Nutrition is a custom nutrition-based program from Seattle nutritionist Jennifer Adler, a nationally recognized nutrition consultant for ABC Nightline. Jennifer has designed this breakthrough concept in nutrition and health. No gimmicks, no expensive supplements or cardboard tasting food. Nutrition counseling that creates a custom tailored success plan using fresh foods and easy to prepare tasty meals. Don't try to go it alone. Passionate Nutrition's follow-up sessions will help you achieve long-term success. 6 convenient Puget Sound locations and coverage by most insurance plans. Passionate Nutrition offers affordable and realistic health and weight loss. Go to PassionateNutrition.com. PassionateNutrition.com. Passionate about you.
If you love dogs, tune in to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes live every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. We'll talk about everything dog and interview authors, experts, and amazing organizations both locally and nationally. And don't even get me started on the pet food industry. I'm Julie Forbes. Find us online at www.dogradioshow.com and also as a free podcast on iTunes. The Dog Show with Julie Forbes, an evolved perspective on life with dogs.
Hi, I'm Martha Childress with the Natural Choice Network. Join us every Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. right here on Alternative Talk 1150. Each week, we invite leaders from our sustainable community to share their unique visions and valuable insights. You'll learn great tools to make your life greener, healthier, and more sustainable for generations to come. Thank you for making the natural choice. That's the Natural Choice Network every Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. Please join us.
You're listening to the refreshingly different Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m.
Happiness. More or less, it's just a change in me, something in my liberty.
Welcome back. You're listening to Passionate Nutrition Radio. I'm Jennifer Adler, your host and a nutritionist for more than a decade. Today I'm here with Mackenzie, one of our fabulous nutritionists at Passionate Nutrition and the recent recipient of the Top Health Coach Award at Microsoft. So once again, Mackenzie, thank you so much for being here.
It's great being here. Thank you for having me.
Good. So while we were on the break, actually, Eric, the man behind the scenes that makes it all happen, had a good suggestion in terms of kefir. Do you mind sharing?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I actually tried kefir for the first time recently, probably because listening to this show, you guys have talked about it before, and I thought, sure, this sounds great. Well, it is really great. I enjoyed it on cereal, but don't try and put it in your coffee or your tea as the substitute for creamer like I did. I ran out of milk one day and had the kefir. I thought, it's creamy, you know, it should go in there. Great. It curdles right away. So not a good option for a substitute for milk or cream in your tea or coffee. But aside from that, it's great stuff. So.
Excellent tip from Eric, and we just appreciate Eric so much. He chooses the most thoughtful music as we're on the air. So now, Mackenzie, what's another food that you would recommend? So we've got kefir, we've got getting adequate protein. What's your next top food?
Well, you know, I think it would go along the lines of a little bit what we were just talking about, protein, how adequate protein, number one, helps our blood sugar levels, which will definitely impact our mood. But then these proteins also really are these precursors to these neurotransmitters that we're talking about, serotonin, dopamine, and norepinephrine. Yet there's also, you know, there's this transition that occurs with some of the proteins that we eat. They turn into these neurotransmitters, but they need some help. You know, there's a lot of coenzymes. There's a lot of other things in our body that are helping this transition. And a lot of these coenzymes that are helping with this are the B vitamins.
Mm-hmm.
So particularly vitamin B6, vitamin B12, and folate. These are what we call coenzymes that help transfer some of these proteins that we're eating into these happy-feeling neurotransmitters. So while there's a lot of foods that we can find, you know, sources of B6, B12, and folate, I like to just wrap it up in one easy go-to food, which are seeds. You know, sunflower seeds, pumpkin seeds, sesame seeds. Seeds all contain this B6, folate, and a little bit of B12, but B12 is a little bit of a tricky one. You know, that's one that we really can only find from animal sources.
Mm-hmm.
But also, if we are vegetarian, you know, tempeh, which is a fermented soy product, contains a lot of B12 as well. But generally speaking, I'm going to go ahead and say seeds here. Seeds really help bring those coenzymes into our body that can help us transition to those happy-feeling neurotransmitters.
Wonderful. And seeds are excellent snack food for people to carry around with them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the questions that people will often have is, do I have to eat them raw?
Right. That's such a question. That's a great question, Jennifer. I'm glad you brought that up. No, absolutely not. I mean, if that's what feels good to people, that's great. But, you know, seeds, just when we toast them just a little bit on a skillet or in a pan, we toast them until you can start to hear them sizzle or some of them even crack and pop. You know that you've really roasted a seed to perfection. You take them off, let them cool down, and then you have these seeds that have these really wonderful roasted flavor to them.
Yeah, and I know what I love to do at that point. So when they're nice and hot, sprinkle a little ume plum vinegar on them. And
yeah.
I know you know how much I love ume.
Well, it brings so much flavor to everything.
It does. It's salty. It's acidic. It's magic. For those of you listening, if you have not purchased ume plum vinegar at this point, go get a bottle.
And put it on everything.
It's so true. You'd make a soup and it's a little bit flat, put it on. You roast some nuts, put it on. I mean, it really is magic. I wish that it was sold in bulk because I would buy large quantities.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
That's great.
So we have seeds. So what's another food, Mackenzie, that you think our listeners should know about?
Well, you know, I also wanted to, you know, wrap up a couple of these other B vitamins into a couple other foods.
Oh,
you know,
perfect. Yeah.
There's, you know, asparagus.
Mm-hmm.
Asparagus and Brussels sprouts are really a magic food here. You know, they contain a lot of these B vitamins that are these precursors. So just like seeds, asparagus and Brussels sprouts will do this. As well as any dark leafy greens, you know, those dark, dark, rich, colorful leafy greens that you can find, kale or chard or collards, they will also contain these B vitamins that really support this inner process that's occurring to create these happy, happy feelings and neurotransmitters.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'd wrap it up into this green food, asparagus, Brussels sprouts, and these dark leafy greens.
Excellent. So we're really looking at a whole foods diet as being very helpful, like some of our big powerhouse foods.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
Okay, good. Now, I would like to turn it over. My sister actually happens to be in the studio today, Kimberly. And, you know, one of the things, Kimberly, that I really love about you is, one, you're very funny. But then, two, it's that you have foods that really make you happy. And you notice a very big difference when you eat them. So do you mind sharing one of your foods?
I would say that my number one favorite food that makes me happy is sushi.
Sushi?
Yes. It's like an instant gratification, basically. It's sushi always makes me happy.
Yeah. So, and that's what you say, is sushi is your happy food, right?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. And Mackenzie, I think that we would have a pretty good idea of probably why Kim has this response to sushi.
I think so. I have my eye on those omega-3s.
Yeah, I am too.
Okay.
I spy omega-3s.
You know, there's so many things that come and go in the nutrition world. You know, there's a lot of, you can see things become really hip. You know, omega-3s have been really hip lately, but for such a good reason. You know, they're really the real deal. That that nerve that I was talking about in the beginning, that myelin sheath, of it's really this thin fat layer that is around each nerve, is compromised with this fat, and that omega-3 can play a huge role in the health of nerves and how nerves transport a lot of these neurotransmitters. So, Kimberly, I have my eye on omega-3 for you and your happy foods with sushi.
Yeah, I think so too. And another great thing about those omega-3s is that, I mean, our brain is 65% fat. I mean, and so half of that fat is specifically the EPA and the DHA that we're going to find in cold water fatty fish. You know, like a lot of the fish that would be used in sushi. And what are other sources of omega-3s that you would recommend for people, Mackenzie?
Well, Jennifer, I think you nailed it when the cold water fish, you know, those are the sources of the EPA and the DHA. You know, those are the sources that our brain, like you mentioned, really wants. It's the most bioavailable form of these omega-3s. So those fish, you know, sardines, tuna, any cold water fish is really going to give us those direct sources of that EPA and DHA. Now, we can also get sources of ALA, which can be transferred into EPA and DHA. And those ALA forms, while they're not the direct source, they can be converted. And those are more like walnuts and flaxseed. What else? I think those are the main two that come to my mind.
It's true that that is a ALA food. And, you know, with that conversion, I mean, that would be more for our vegetarians out there, because that conversion, you know, it's estimated there's so many nutrients that are required to make those transition steps that it's really about 10%. You know, even the highest estimates look at about 20% actually gets converted. So it is true those options are available, especially if somebody is vegetarian and or vegan. And you're going to get a much bigger bang for your time and energy in your food with the cold water fish, or even having like grass-fed meat, which will have high levels as well.
Right. Great. I'm glad you brought that up. Exactly. And yeah, any grass-fed meat or pasture-raised butter will have some of those in there. And then there's spirulina. So spirulina is one of those foods too. It's an algae, mostly found in capsule form, but also powder form. That also is a great source here for our vegetarians.
Mm-hmm. And it adds such nice color. And we just got done with St. Patrick's Day. So spirulina is a great thing to sprinkle on your St. Patrick's Day popcorn.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if people have popcorn on St. Patrick's Day, but you know, you can make it
green.
But
you do.
You could add it to other foods too. Maybe you add a little spirulina to your mashed potatoes. No, mm-hmm. That sounds actually really gross. Yeah. So, right. So spirulina.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And Mackenzie, how long do you feel like it takes to feel results from the foods that you're recommending?
Well, you know, Jennifer, I think there's a lot of answers to this question. I mean, there's some clients I work with where, you know, they come back the next week and they're like, wow. You know, they really feel a difference. They're very wowed by these foods. You know, and others, it takes several months. It's a very gradual progression. And then others, you know, I mean, there are some folks, anybody who has a GI disorder or is recovering from celiacs or has just been diagnosed celiacs, and there's a lot of GI distress, any stomach gut distress, you know, it takes a while for those cells to rebuild and that the gut to really heal. And so for them to be producing at optimum levels, these high levels of serotonin could take even up to a year. So I say that this is really going to vary for each person. And that's why we're into individualized nutrition, because truly everyone is so unique.
Yes, it's so true. And I love that you bring up that it does take different lengths of time. And it is true. I find that clients with kefir and also the protein, those are the two big ones that it seems like they come back the next appointment and feel so much better. And then some of the other things, it takes a lot longer. Is that your experience as well, or do you have a different experience with people?
No, definitely. That's mm-hmm. definitely my experience. I'd say kefir, hands down, is number one. And then also is protein as well. Mm-hmm. And sometimes clients will come back and they'll say, oh, I didn't get a chance to try anything that you mentioned. And then they'll come back the next time and they say, I've tried everything and this is what's happening for me. And so there can be some success right away, just improvement in energy. And it's hard to know, you know, kefir is so protein packed. That's why it's our number one, because it contains these probiotics, but it's also really protein dense. So sometimes it's hard to know, is it the protein or, you know, is it these probiotics that are doing, they're doing it, but we get to cover both when we're having the kefir.
Yeah. So it's time for us to take a quick break and stay tuned. And when we return, Mackenzie will share some interesting client stories that we didn't get to in this last segment. And as always, please feel free to call in with any questions at any time throughout the show. We'd love to hear from you. And our call-in number is 425-373-5527. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Let the power of nature boost your metabolism, nourish your skin, and help save you a fortune on cosmetics. This summer, travel to Lopez Island with renowned nutritionist Jennifer Adler and learn how to access the power of local plants. Join Jennifer's summer workshop, Seaweed 101 and Wild Foods 101. I'm Martha Hadley, and I love seaweed. It's delicious, nutritious, and extremely popular. At Jennifer's workshops, you'll harvest seaweed from a kayak, forage restorative wild foods, and learn how to transform local plants into herbal remedies, luxurious beauty products, and delicious meals. Rich in minerals, vitamins, and fiber, seaweed and many other wild foods detoxify and restore our body to its optimal health, which translates to natural weight loss, increased energy, and glowing skin. Space is limited, so learn more and sign up today for these incredible workshops at PassionateNutrition.com. For a great nutritionist, choose Passionate Nutrition like I did. With 6 locations and coverage by most insurance plans, that's PassionateNutrition.com.
Hi, I'm Pat Pauley. Tune into my show, Get Active, each Tuesday at 12 noon on Alternative Talk, 1150. Each week, we invite a guest to talk about one of the wonderful activities in the Puget Sound region, ones that you may want to participate in. We'll focus on how adult beginners can comfortably get into all of these activities. You'll learn a lot about how you can get active. Be sure to listen. That's Get Active with me, Pat Pauley, at 12 noon each Tuesday on Alternative Talk, 1150.
Did you know that nearly 500,000 babies are born prematurely in the United States each year? Babies born early face potentially life-altering complications, including learning and behavior problems, increased risk of cerebral palsy, vision and hearing loss, just to mention a few. Hi, I'm Gary Shipe, and every week on Spotlight, we bring you compelling conversation with local leaders. The March of Dimes is funding research to find the causes, treatments, and preventions for the serious problems that threaten babies' health. This week, we speak with two mothers who know from personal experience about the great work the March of Dimes does. Join me to learn more on Spotlight, Sunday mornings at 5 on Alternative Talk, AM 1150, KKNW.
Lewis and Clark would be proud. We're exploring new territory on the air every day right here on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
I gotta let you know that it was hard to go away from home alone right here.
Welcome back. You're listening to Passionate Nutrition Radio. I'm Jennifer Adler, your host and a nutritionist for more than a decade. Today I'm here with Mackenzie Zajon, one of our fabulous nutritionists at Passionate Nutrition, and once again, the recent recipient of the Top Health Coach Award at Microsoft. So we have Kathy from Seattle that's calling into Passionate Nutrition Radio. Kathy, thank you for calling.
Hi. I'd like to try spirulina. That was one of the mood foods. But I have hypothyroid, and I'm also allergic to iodine, allergic to fish, too.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Yeah, something like spirulina is going to have iodine in there. So if you're allergic, so if you can't, so does that mean, can you eat seafood?
No, I'm actually allergic to fish. I don't know if that's related, but I've been allergic to fish my whole life.
Okay, oftentimes someone can be allergic to fish, but seaweed is fine for them. But it's a question of when you are allergic to iodine, sometimes that means added iodine. Like, for example, if you're having an iodized salt or something in a more supplemental form versus something that's in a naturally occurring form. So, Mackenzie, would you add anything to that?
No, I think you handled that beautifully, Jennifer, that that those are going to show up differently in a naturally occurring form, mm-hmm. as well as more in an additive form, that they'll react differently in the body. I definitely agree.
And so, Kathy, what we would recommend, if you did want to try spirulina because it is one of those mood-enhancing foods and you're nervous about the effect, I mean, I'm not sure whether this is an EpiPen situation or more some GI distress.
I had the dye, this was many years ago, the CAT scan contrast mm-hmm. dye, mm-hmm. and I had, you know, that has iodine in it, and I had an allergic reaction
mm-hmm.
During the time that I got it.
Well,
but, so, it, you know, their guess was that it was iodine.
So in that situation, because since then you've probably had foods that have had iodine in them as well, I would say, just to be on the conservative side, start with a very small amount of
okay.
spirulina. You
okay.
know, see how that feels to your body.
Okay.
And then just work your way up, you know, okay. and just honor what your the information that your body is giving you.
That sounds so good.
Great. Well, thank you
thank
so much
you.
For calling.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
And now we have Joanna from Kirkland. Thank you so much yeah. for calling Passionate Nutrition Radio.
Thank you for taking my call. I have a question about kefir. My doctor says not to eat it because does it grow candida? I have a problem with candida overgrowth.
Yeah, that's a really good question. So with kefir, when somebody is working on a candida issue, which for those that are listening, candida is where somebody has an imbalance of yeast and bacteria in their body. Something like kefir, because it does have a high sugar content as far as from the milk sugars and also the sugar that it's added, that would not be a good recommendation for you. So an alternative to think about getting those really great probiotics in food form would be something like kimchi or sauerkraut, miso,
yeah.
you know, or kombucha. Do you know kombucha, the beverage that you can buy? Well, these are all foods that are going to have naturally occurring probiotics, but they're not going to have the sugar content that kefir does. And when you're buying these foods, you just want to be really careful that you buy them from the refrigerator section. Especially,
yeah,
you know, right, someplace like PCC. And the reason it needs to be in the refrigerator section is that if it's in the aisles, that means that those products have been pasteurized. So the bacteria and the enzymes have been killed off, and what we're looking for is specifically that bacteria. And
so the jar of sauerkraut on the shelf is not as good.
Exactly. You want to avoid the jar of sauerkraut on the shelf. I mean, it's not like it's a horrible food. You still get the cabbage that's in there, but sauerkraut can be a very medicinal food. And in order for it to be medicinal, it has to come from the refrigerator section. And it doesn't require a lot. Like, Mackenzie, when you're working with clients, how much sauerkraut or kefir do you typically, or excuse me, I keep saying kefir, sauerkraut or kimchi do you recommend for people?
You know, what I recommend is you just think of it as like a condiment, you know, similar to like how we use sauerkraut on, you know, traditional form of a hot dog or a sausage, you know, maybe about a quarter cup, you know, just a small amount on the side, condiment-like.
Yep.
Yeah.
And does kimchi come in a mild form? I don't like spices.
It's a really good question. There are mild forms of kimchi that you can buy. And, in fact, if we were in Korea, the land of kimchi, I mean, you can get spicy, mild, you can get lots of different flavors. And here, we don't have the selection that you would get in Korea, but we still have some variation. Most of the kimchi we're going to find is spicy, but there are some mild versions available. And I know co-ops such as PCC, they will have those. And miso.
I once made my own sauerkraut. Is it good to make your own sauerkraut, or it's sitting out at room temperature?
Yeah, actually,
with a whole cabbage.
You know, I love that you bring this up. So mm-hmm. you said that, yeah. Wait, if I'm making the sauerkraut, I'm yeah. leaving it out at room temperature. Now, you can actually leave the sauerkraut that you buy at the grocery store out at room temperature. The only reason it gets refrigerated is because the bacteria that's in there is still alive and it's reproducing. And so what happens is they refrigerate it so it keeps the flavor that they want. Because if it kept, if the bacteria is alive, it's eating up, you know, the sugar that's in the cabbage naturally, what it does is it starts to make a sour product, you know, where it continues to get more and more sour. So they refrigerate it so the flavor stays consistent. But it's actually safe to leave it out at room temperature. So if you're making it on your own, you know, where you're doing the salt and cabbage and not heating it or cooking it, that would be wonderful. Yeah, and actually, so that's a good point that we're talking about. And when you have the sauerkraut, you know, or the kimchi, it's something that you want to add and not heat up. You know, it's something that you add, like Mackenzie was saying, you use it as a condiment. So you can add it to something that's hot, but you don't want to cook it.
Yeah, I eat it out of the jar before I eat my meal.
Perfect. That's great. And it's...
Certain vegetables, do they digest quicker than other foods? So I should eat raw foods first? Is that right?
You know, that gets into some food combining principles that really, it's very individual, but I would say most often you really don't have to worry about that. You know, it's having something like sauerkraut can help with the digestion of everything that you're eating. But in terms of the order, you know, eating one thing, then the next thing, that's going to be less important. And actually, I should ask you, Mackenzie, would you add anything to that?
No, Jennifer, I think you handled that great. The food combining principles will vary from person to person, but generally speaking, you know, that's why I like to just say you're your best detective. Do your own detective work there. If you really feel like there's certain foods, you know, sometimes raw foods can be really hard on the digestive tract for people, and they do need to be cooked. But generally speaking, eating raw or frozen or fresh, sautéed, cooked, all of those vegetables, there's really, those are all excellent ways to enjoy vegetables.
It's just get them in.
Get them in.
Get the vegetables in. You know, in the U.S., if we didn't count ketchup and French fries as vegetables, most people wouldn't get a single vegetable in the day. So really, however they're going to work for you, just get those vegetables in. So thank you so much for calling, Joanna.
And we had another caller that called in but couldn't hold on but had a quick question about kefir. She's worried about gluten. Is that something that she has to worry about when drinking kefir?
Excellent question. Kefir is gluten-free, so you don't have to worry about that. Now, with that said, I would always be careful and look at the bottle just to make sure there isn't something added. But in general, kefir should be a gluten-free product where you don't have to worry. Now, Mackenzie, it's been really wonderful to have you on the show. And I just, you know, we're going to be coming to a close in a minute here. And I just wanted to see if there was anything that we didn't get to that you really had a burning desire to share.
You know, we got to everything that I was hoping to share today, and I just think it's an excellent topic, and I just really appreciate you having me. So thank you.
Well, wonderful. Well, you're the perfect person to share about edible antidepressants, and I know you've definitely inspired me to add a few new foods into my daily diet. So
great.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
And so for those of you that are going to be available next week, please stay tuned for Passionate Nutrition Radio. And we always have great topics every week. And to learn more about Passionate Nutrition, please visit us at passionatenutrition.com. And our phone number is 206-595-0376. And we really appreciate all of our listeners. And it's been such a pleasure, especially today, to have callers calling in. And so please continue calling. We would love to hear from you. And we hope that you call next week. So thank you so much for joining us and have a great week.
My vegetables, I'm gonna chow down my vegetables. I love.